Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2029 with a release date of Friday, September 16th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ohio hams stage their own Parks on the Air celebration. A number of radio amateurs are among this year's Radio Club of America honorees. An Arizona library adds some critical ham radio equipment. In our top story, H.R. 1301, the Amateur Radio Parity Act, passes in the House of Representatives. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2029 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week's report with the big announcement out of Washington, D.C., that the House of Representatives has passed H.R. 1301, otherwise known as the Amateur Radio Parity Act. The measure now goes to the Senate for similar discussion and vote. While this is great news and brings hams one step closer to potential freedom from restrictive land use rules and covenants, one ham would like us to remember that we also need to work on our state legislatures to pass companion bills to strengthen the message of H.R. 1301. Larry Scantlin, KE0KZ, has been directly involved with a similar bill in Missouri. Scantlin moved back from Florida when he retired and into the house where his new wife had been living in Wentzville, Missouri. Shortly thereafter, he decided to become active in ham radio again, and then came a surprise.
A friend of mine gave me a vertical antenna. I put it against my deck. My wife and I proceeded, and we went on vacation to Branson, came back after a period of time down there, and I had received a letter in the mail from the city of Wentzville informing me that I was in violation of city ordinance by this antenna. Well, I thought that was rather strange. I was well aware of HOA issues, but not with the city. But the bottom line is, I was able successfully to get them to change the ordinance in favor of ham radio operators. Not just me, but there are approximately 100 licensed ham radio operators in Wentzville on the books. And so we basically got them to change that because not only did their ordinance restrict the antennas, outside the antennas, but it was written in such a way that you couldn't even have amateur radio equipment inside of your home unless you filed a request for to have that equipment in your house. You had to actually file and pay a fee of $150.
That experience opened his eyes to the potential plight of others.
In that process, I discovered the reality is I'm not the only one that deals with these kinds of issues. And more importantly, with respect to the HOAs. And as I became familiar with what the Amateur Radio Parity Act was on the federal side of things, I felt like oftentimes it's the states who end up determining these things anyway. We're independent United States, and oftentimes, even though there may be federal legislation, it's always helpful to have a companion legislation at the state level. That gives it that much more weight in the legal course of action that ends up happening.
Scantlin and his team managed to get a bill sponsored by their local representatives and then got good news, followed by bad news.
We were able to get through the House. We successfully won all the votes, all of the challenges through the committees, the two committees that had to go through, as well as the full House floor debate and vote, which we felt was pretty incredible. And then it was submitted to the Senate. And then we started the long, hard process again of trying to, relay to the senators just how important this was. It was submitted to committee, and on the committee was two or three people that were very pro what we were trying to accomplish. Unfortunately, the chairman of that committee, for whatever reason, took the position to table the matter, said there wasn't enough public interest. And I found it very very concerning that one man could make a unilateral decision, even after the House representatives. But even after all that, and there were several people who were on his own committee that were, wanting this to move forward in debate, he alone made his decision to stop that bill.
Larry intends to keep fighting and will work to get the bill brought back up before the Senate. He wanted to emphasize that even if restrictions don't affect you now, You never know when life may dictate that you have to move, and you may very well end up without the ability to practice amateur radio. So it's important to all hams to get behind efforts such as these and what the ARRL is doing in Washington. He also said that it was crucial for all hams to get the word out to the community about what amateur radio really is, how we are all tested and licensed, and provides a crucial communication service in times of emergency. In other words, we all need to work together to build up our image. For the full conversation, please go to our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the Extra tab. We also encourage you to write to your senators in support of H.R. 1301, as this is critical to the future of our hobby here in the United States. The National Parks on the Air Centennial doesn't offer the only ham radio celebration of beautiful places in the great outdoors. There are plenty of parks in Ohio that recently got into the act, too. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Organizers of the 9th Annual Ohio State Parks on the Air Contest were counting on more operators than ever this year on Saturday, September 10th, as 59 of the state's 74 parks were being activated. What they hadn't counted on was the storm front that swept through Ohio halfway through the 8-hour contest. Hail, rain, wind, and lightning prompted most of the stations to halt operations, and only a few got back on the air after the weather had cleared. Like its counterpart at the national parks level, which it helped inspire, the Ohio State Parks Contest encourages outdoor and portable operations and is also viewed as a good way for hams involved in emergency communications to assure that their gear is functioning. It was created in 2008 by the Portage County Amateur Radio Society. According to event chairman Tom KB8UUZ, even as organizers await arrival of final scores and statistics by November 1st, they're already working on the event for 2017, which will be held September 9th. They're hoping for the usual high level of participation and definitely better weather. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
In just a few weeks, radio amateurs are going to share the spotlight with broadcast professionals and others in the wireless world as the Radio Club of America confers honors at its 107th annual banquet. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4 ALA.
The Radio Club of America, the world's oldest group of wireless communications professionals, has set aside November 18th as its day to honor a number of men and women for their contributions to and achievements in radio, and a number of radio amateurs are on that list. They'll be among the recipients of awards being given at the RCA's 107th banquet in Manhattan on that day. One of them, William T. Murphy, W0RSJ, will receive the Sarnoff Citation for his work in electronic communication. Joseph H. Taylor, K1JT, will be recognized with the Lifetime Achievement Award for his life's work with wireless technology. The Fred M. Link Award will go to Dan Clark, W9VV, for his work in land mobile radio communication. Stanley Rubenstein, WA6RNU, will receive the Barry Goldwater Amateur Radio Award for his contributions to amateur radio. The Ralph Batcher Memorial Award will be given to Mark F. Ellis, N9EWJ, for his work in keeping the history of radio and electronic communications preserved. For his devotion to military communications work, Robert A. Rood, K0RAR, will be given the Frank A. Gunther Award. Another radio amateur, John E. Detra Jr., WB4NBF, has been selected to receive the President's Award for his work devoted to the Radio Club of America itself. The club is also elevating a number of people to fellow, and the newest group of fellows will count several amateurs among its membership. For more details about the banquet and the award recipients, visit the club website at radioclubofamerica.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4 ALA.
When the ride to defeat ALS steps off on Sunday, the 25th of September in Worcester, Massachusetts, organizers are hoping to give participants the best assurance of safety, the watchful eyes of amateur radio operators. If you are in the Worcester area and could volunteer your time, the Worcester Emergency Communications Team would welcome you. The 70-mile bicycle route is more of a charitable event than a true competitive race. It begins at 6 a.m. and ends at 3 p.m. But some stations are open as late as 9 a.m. and close as early as 11 a.m. So contact Ben, NB1H, at nb1h@wect.org if you're interested. Bring your HT. The event makes use of both 2-meter and 70-centimeter length repeaters. Hams are also needed to assist with communications at the 41st running of the U.S. Marine Corps Marathon in the Washington, D.C. area on Sunday, October 30th. An estimated 25,000 runners step off near Arlington National Cemetery and then continue into Washington itself, ending at the Marine Corps War Memorial back in Arlington after completing 26.2 miles. Because the race travels past so many monuments, it's nicknamed the Marathon of the Monuments. Hams will be needed to staff mile markers, water points, food stops, medical aid stations, and other locations, as well as help with logistical communications and cooperation with law enforcement and emergency workers. For more information, contact Howard WD5DBC, the Marathon's communications director, at howardc@macrollc.com. That's macrollc.com. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Spark Club repeater for the Sportsman's Paradise Amateur Radio Club, K4WAK, in Wakulla County, Florida, in time for the Friday afternoon commute. The Enigma machine that played a key role in World War II is now serving as inspiration for an exercise in encryption that draws participation from hams worldwide. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
During World War II, Germany made wide and successful use of its notorious and highly complex message encoder known as the Enigma machine. These days, amongst radio amateurs, the concept of Enigma has come to mean something else, a fun challenge at deciphering communications and a test of one's ability at finding meaning in code. At least, that's how it's been since 2014, when the Enigma event, an international on-air exchange of encrypted messages, began as a cooperation between the Marine Museum of La Spezia in Italy and the cultural association Rover Joe in Fidenza. It's also received major support from the Italian Radio Amateur Association. This year's formal Enigma Reloaded contest begins on the 17th of September and runs through to the 1st of October. On that final day of the event in October, the exchange will involve encrypted messages. Despite the encryption, the messages are designed to be easily solved, and the content will be made available to the public, either through a web-based Enigma emulator or by some other means. It doesn't take much deciphering, however, to appreciate the real goal of the annual event, to get as many radio amateurs around the world as possible involved and on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The allure of a contact with a lighthouse never dims, especially if the lighthouse is in a rare and special location, such as Prince Edward Island, Canada. Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW, explains.
You don't need to wait for next year's International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend in August to add to your collection of lighthouse contacts. In fact, if you're especially hoping to collect contacts with lighthouses in somewhat rare locations, and even add to your list from islands on the air, this lighthouse will be a beacon for both of those pursuits. On Friday, September 23 through Sunday afternoon, September 25, members of the Prince Edward Island Amateur Radio Group are activating the Tignish Run Lighthouse in the Fisherman's Haven Park. The three-story lighthouse, which was built in 1880 and decommissioned in 1997, has been designated as CAN-036 by the Amateur Radio Lighthouse Society. This is one coveted contact, however, that carries the added bonus of being an island location. Prince Edward Island in Atlantic Canada is listed with islands on the air as NA029. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
One Arizona library is adding something unusual to its vast collection, an antenna and a repeater. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
The latest addition to the Centennial Public Library in La Paz County, Arizona, isn't a new wing or multimedia room or even a first edition of a collectible book. It's going to be a ham radio antenna and radio repeater. On September 6th, the county's Board of Supervisors voted to allow the installation of the radio equipment after hearing from Dave Anderson, K1AN, president of the group applying, and the Arizona Amateur Radio Association. Dave said the ham radio group gives special priority to encouraging youngsters to participate in ham radio. He'd asked the supervisors for permission to install the antenna and repeater so his group could bring services into the McMullen Valley, which has challenging mountainous terrain. According to the Parker Pioneer newspaper, Anderson told the supervisors that his group's genesis came about a year ago when it became apparent to him that the youngsters living in the county's 22 communities were not only struggling with poverty, but also the geographic isolation of that region of Arizona, which has fewer than one child per square mile in the county. He envisioned amateur radio as a way of linking the children into a cohesive community able to talk with one another. The strategy worked, he added. There are now 34 young amateur radio licensees who got their tickets within the last 8 months. Anderson said the vote of support meant the group could increase its coverage beyond the present 12 communities using the My La Paz radio system and, of course, the public library. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
In the world of DX, a special event station is underway through November 15th in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Members of the radio club Kakan, E73EKK, and Cement Factory Kakan are activating the call sign E703QLA in what they are calling the third ecological project in organization of the Heidelberg Cement Group. Find them using CW, single sideband, and RIDI on 80, 40, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10 meters. Incoming QSL cards should be sent via QSL manager E71CQ. The club asks as well for an IRC or $2 to cover direct mailing costs with self-addressed envelopes. Andre, IZ1MHY, will be on the air as 8Q7MD from the Alamatha Resort, Fieldhu Atoll, between October 2nd and 12th, working holiday style on 40 through 10 meters. He will be using sideband, JT65, SIM31, RTTY, and possibly other digital modes. Send QSL cards via 9 Alpha 8 Alpha Romeo Sierra by the Bureau, Logbook of the World, EQSL, or directly to IZ1MHY. Listen for Herb, N4RG, in Namibia and possibly Ascension Island until September 29th. His call sign from Ascension Island is ZD8RG. It was announced at press time what his Namibia call sign was going to be. He will be operating during his spare time on 160 meters through 10 meters, working CW and single sideband. Send QSL cards to his home call sign. Finally, listen for Frank, PH2M, in the Canary Islands. He will be active as EA8/PH2M from Lazarote Island from September 25th through October 6th, working holiday style on 40 through 10 meters. Frank will be using single sideband only. Send QSL cards via his home call sign or by the Bureau. Finally, we look at an annual ritual for one ham who understands, as any radio operator might, that often the best tribute one can pay is through audio, no matter how painful it might be to hear. Such is the case with this year's 15th anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5CXP, with that story.
The September 11, 2001 terror attacks included the destruction of New York City's Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and nearly 3,000 lives in New York alone on that day. An Air Force and Army veteran and husband of an active Air Force member who is also a ham, Mark Lacey, W5TXR, turns part of his website over each year to air some audio that is forever frozen in time. These are the logging tapes of the calls that went out to New York City's emergency responders on that day, as buildings collapsed, as people became trapped, and as help arrived, sometimes to no avail. In many cases, the voices that remain on these recordings belong to people who vanished forever. The website also includes the FAA NORAD audio, featuring communications between air traffic control and the doomed airliners as the attacks unfolded. Mark told Amateur Radio Newsline recently that he shares the audio on his website each year because, quote, "I am a patriot, and I don't want people to forget, end quote. This is how things happened. Every year, we listen and we remember. Visit www.w5txr.net and click on Historical Audio Archives until the 25th of September, and you can hear it too, thanks to Mark. It is unforgettable, which is, of course, the whole point. When we think collectively of that single painful day, no, we can never forget. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Amateur Radio Europe, CQ Magazine, Gizmodo, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Mark Lacey, W5TXR, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, Ohio State Parks on the Air, Parker Pioneer Newspaper, PEI Lighthouse Society, Radio Club of America, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, the Wireless Institute of Australia, Worcester Emergency Communications Team, WTWW Shortwave, and to you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news teams worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.